Ours is an old, new faith. Since the beginning of the worship of the one God, the genius, the spiritual genius of Israel has insisted that the words of prayer be wedded to lines of melody. The forms of music which have been familiar to the temple and to the synagogue and to the ancient sanctuaries has changed markedly and radically over the generations. But never has music been absent from the synagogue. And each generation bears, therefore, the responsibility of creating that melody and that song which bespeaks its own culture and its own world, which allows its people to rise on the lines of melody in their prayer to God. There has been in recent years a renaissance of synagogue music. We've tried to find the melody and the song which fits the modern temple. And the temple has tried to play its role in this work of creation. Through the Myrtle Weintraub Gewelber Memorial Fund, we have each year commissioned a new liturgical setting for our worship. The setting which accompanied our thoughts this morning was composed for us and conducted for us by one of the most talented of the musicians of the synagogue, Mr. Lazar Weiner. Mr. Weiner has been for 35 years the musical director of the Central Synagogue in New York. In the greatest of our cities, his has been the voice of Jewish experimentation. His choir has sung with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra at Carnegie Hall and in many other places. And we are delighted that he undertook this commission for us, that his music today and on many Sundays in the future will accompany our meditation. And more than this, we are delighted that he has consented to come and to speak to us this morning on the theme, My Faith and My Music. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Lazar Weiner.
Frankly speaking, I'm very tense now. Tense not because I conducted my music, but because I know in this place a great man, distinguished rabbi, and a marvelous orator, the late Abba Hillel Silver, Zecher Livrucho, was standing here. I admired him. Whenever I heard him, we also appeared on the Message of Israel Coast to Coast program, and I marveled. I'm tense because I was told that the apple does not fall very far from the tree of the young rabbi Daniel Silver. I have not heard him speak. I heard about him quite a bit. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, you could understand my tenseness. Though half of my talk was already heard through sound, it is also difficult for me, and I'm not used to it, to talk about the little I, myself, about my music. I believe that music, my music, as well as any music, should speak for itself. But I have promised to talk about my faith, my music, within a few minutes. Well, childhood, I went to Heder until about 8. I sang in the synagogue. I'm pointing out so as to know the reason why all these, the continuation of my life, of my faith. When I was about 9 years of age, I left my small town and I went to a big town called Kiev, somewhere in the Ukraine. And there, in the most important synagogue, I sang, studied music, piano, conservatory, My masters Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, Brahms, engrossed in music to such an extent that the synagogue music is gone because I was swallowed by these great masters when I lost my voice at 14, 13, 14. All my concentration was music, world culture. Now I arrived to USA. My language was Yiddish. I did not speak any English, of course. I composed in Yiddish and Yiddish poetry. One fine day, I sent some of my songs to a pioneer of Jewish music, Yoel Engel, who lived at that time in Berlin. A reply came within a couple of weeks later, young man, it seems that you have talent. You wrote on Yiddish text, but where is your Jewish music? Yiddish text, where is my Jewish music? But this is music. Correspondence between Engel and myself, and Yoel Engel opened my eyes as far as Jewish music was concerned. I started to analyze, what is it? While in the conservatory in Russia, with Beethoven and Brahms and Bach, etc., Mussorgsky, the national composer, the Russian composer, was to me a composer like Tchaikovsky and the others. But as soon as I had that letter from Yoel Engel, I began to search, analyze, question. Yes, there is such thing as a nationalism in music. Oh, nationalism in music is not a political nationalism where there is chauvinism. This is not so. Nationalism in music becomes international. It is the political nationalism that is chauvinism. And I started to research. I sang in a synagogue. I remind myself of those melodies. I studied Brahms and Bach, and I was trying to connect these two links. And I came to the conclusion that I should like to see Jewish music on a world pedestal, not only localizing within Eli Eli or in a synagogue with a cantor just improvising. What is our Jewish music? What is it? Where do we go? Why Jewish music? Don't we have enough music as a whole? And why not? That great composer Chopin is a Pole. The great composer Grieg, Norwegian. Smetana, Dvorak. We'll go up to this point, up to this time, Bartok. All national composers built everything on their lore, of their folk songs. Why not Jewish music? We have something to say. We have roots much older than anyone else. Any other nationalism, and please don't misunderstand me, it's not that I'm talking in point of view of a chauvinist. But no other people in their books, holy books, have such thing as melodic lines on their words in the Bible. We call it trop, cantillation. This is the beginning of our music. This is the source of our music. We have traditional melodic lines throughout our holidays. They were not, I'm sorry to say, utilized by our great masters. We had great composers, Jews, Meyerbeer, Mendelssohn, Halevi. Oh, I don't want to say too much about that. I mean, so many because it will take so much time. Mahler, up to Gershwin, Aaron Copland. They were Jews, but not Jewish composers, important composers. But where is our own music that we could say that is ours? We are a part of a world culture, of a world musical culture. That did not happen until just lately. When I say lately, our calendar reads 5,724, 25. Lately, would say 50 years, 60, the most that we have our contemporary music that we have. We can say this is our music. When did we have a symphony? Where was our opera? Where was our sonata, quartet, etc.? Just as a part of the music culture, not localized, only the synagogue. Which, of course, again in the synagogue, the cantor, especially the orthodoxy. A cantor, boys choir, I do not want to criticize too much, singing very often out of tune, no organ was allowed. This is not what we call music on a world pedestal. These are very localized things. And as a musician, and as other musicians, we started to realize that this is not the road. This is not the way that we could say that we do music equal to others. Therefore, in comparison to the other people, if I say we are only 50, 60 years old as far as contemporary music, of course we cannot compare. We still do not have our own Beethoven. Maras, we have time. We have time as long as the beginning was there. And why don't we have our own Beethoven? It's very simple. We did not have a land of our own, where our own culture could develop. Therefore, a Mendelssohn is a world figure, but not a Jewish composer in a sense. We're utilizing like Tchaikovsky, or Mussorgsky, or Rimsky-Korsakov, or Bartok, or Defaya, etc., etc., different nationalities. We did not have it. And Mendelssohn was a part of a German culture, just as Mahler was a part of an Austrian culture. Just as the others were, whatever they were, there the difficulty comes in. And that is one of the reasons we had our ghettos. And in the ghettos we have created again the local synagogue. Once in a while, singing folk songs, we have quite a repertoire, so to say, of folklore. And it is again, I repeat, the last 56 years that our musicians, composers, not amateur composers, are looking in that direction. One of the men that put Jewish music, Jewish liturgical music, on the pedestal of the world was Ernest Bloch. He lived right here in your town, in your Cleveland. A great composer. Avodas HaKodesh, the sacred service of his, is to me no less than one of the 4, 5, 6 masterpieces for choral, sacred music. When I do compare it to many of to those great 5, 6 masterpieces of the world, he's sacred music, he's sacred service. No one else, I'm repeating it twice, could have written the sacred service. Only a Jew. Which means that it is not a question of utilizing, taking ready material. But these things have to come, as they say, believe within you. And that was Ernest Bloch. And Ernest Bloch put Jewish music on the pedestal of the world. It is very difficult to perform the Ernest Bloch in a synagogue where we need a tremendous orchestra with a large chorus. But they do, poco a poco, as they say in Italian, little by little, they are doing these things. And we are instigating, we are encouraged, and we are encouraging composers. Strange. It is written, Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Out of Israel will come, out of Zion will come the Torah. Forgive me, Rabbi, if I improvise and I say, or paraphrase, Ki me America, teitzei liturgical music. Bloch, born in Switzerland, composed the sacred music service right here in USA. One of the greatest French Jewish composer, Darius Milhaud, the sacred service written in USA. One of the finest Italian Jewish composer, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, born in Florence, wrote the sacred music service in Los Angeles. From last year, you gave him a commission to write the service, born in Austria, composed the sacred music in America. Charlotte, Berlin, now in Denver. Helfman, born in Poland, composed in America. One of our finest composers, Joseph Akron, born in Russia, composed the sacred service in America. The most important sacred services for the synagogue were written right here. We have a sound of our own. And my friends, I'm standing before you and saying I am not ashamed to say that Jewish music is in the best of the world. Not as Brahms, not as Beethoven, but we are going there. And when I say we are not ashamed and I'm talking about Jewish music, please do not accuse me of being a chauvinist. No, not so. I want to be a part of a world culture. And do not misunderstand. I am not ready to accept bad music, but it is Jewish, therefore good, not at all. First, let us talk about good music. And then the music that comes from below, as I said, from within us, with our tune. I spoke so far about everything else, only about myself. It is much easier for me to talk about everything else that is in music and about that and this one, this composer. It's so difficult for me to speak about myself, but just a couple of words. These are the things that I was trying to utilize. That Nusach, those traditional tunes that I know since childhood, it isn't a question of learning. They were with me all my life. And I'm repeating, by the knowledge of Brahms and Bach up to the modern Schoenberg technique, we are trying to connect these links to become a part of a world culture, just as I'm wearing that modern tie, just as we wear modern suits. And yet I'm not ready to give up the Baal Shem Tov. I'm not ready to give up the Hasidim. I'm not ready to give up the trope. I'm not ready to give up the folklore. I'm ready to accept all this within, and bring it to the fore as a Jew, as a part of a world culture that I have repeated so many times. Therefore, in this service that you heard this morning, I wish to let the music speak for itself. If I would tell you that in Sim Shalom, Bar So and So, the alto sang the wonderful melodic line that was taken from there and then, you may have forgotten it. And it's very clear. This is the first performance that you heard. By the way, this is the first performance I heard it myself. I heard it within me. These things cannot be expected to be accepted at first hearing. I do not mean to say that Carmen, I mean to compare, that Carmen was a failure, that Boris Godunov was a failure, Tannhäuser was a failure. There were so many failures. But within time, by hearing it a second, third, fifth, tenth time, and ladies and gentlemen, if this service of mine will be performed 10 times and you will not like it, don't like it. Don't like it. The only thing that I'm asking, not about my music, but the music in general, especially when the composition is in a larger form, not a little song, we have to hear it more than once to be acquainted, just to feel this whole thing. So this is all that I could say. One more remark. I'm vitally interested not to write music for the sake of just music, not to write a traditional tune which was taken and then rearranged, reworked within me, without thinking seriously about the interpretation of the text, which to me is the most important thing. The most important thing, because you cannot just think about melodies. I have a feeling that the text always dictates the melodic line, and therefore I am much more a slave of the text than of the melody because of the interpretation. These are the few words that I wanted to say to you. But before closing, I cannot, without my thanks especially to your marvelous conductor, David Gooding, who put in so much work And to the entire group, they were so fine, they were so nice, I felt that I'm almost at home, not knowing them before. And of course, the legend tells us that the world consists of Lamed Vav Tzadikim, 36 Tzadikim, no one knows where they are. But if a man, a person, could give commission to us Jewish musicians, which is so seldom, so few, and so much encouragement do we feel, like Mr. Gewalbert, to give a commission to a Jewish composer, we have hope. We have hope. There are so many people that do not have hope. There are so many people that want everything to happen in their life. But I say time has time. It will come. There are more commissions will be given, I hope, by more foundations for Jewish music to become a part of the world culture, not of the chauvinistic. I'm grateful to all of you for coming here. Thank you.